Morning, everybody. Hey, there are people in the building. Isn't it wonderful? There are some of us together. Well, a particular welcome to you who are joining us from home. But it is great that church is still happening, that we are still church, that we are meeting some of us now in person, some of us still online, taking it in turns to come along and join church in person. And the good news is that whether we are near or far, whether in the midst of pandemic or away on holiday on a beach somewhere, God is in charge. He is the God that we trust, the one that we look to, and that the salvation that Jesus Christ has won for us is certain and secure. That as we put our trust in Jesus, our life is hid with Christ in God. And so as we go through the difficult things in life, or as we begin enjoying things once again, as life returns to normal, God is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And all that he has done for us can still be trusted. In our service today, we're going to pray. We're going to sort of sing. The people in the building tend to have learnt the art of singing without really singing. Join in spirit anyway. The bonus of being at home is that you get to sing at the top of your lungs. So please do that. We might even hear you if you're loud enough. We're going to read God's words and hear him speak. And Ben is going to open that word to us and explain what God is saying to us, that we might hear his voice and live his ways. We're going to begin with a prayer. It's going to appear on the screen, and I invite you to say that along with me as we pray that God would be with us, speak to us in our service today. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let me invite you to stand if you're able. Our first song, Come People of the Risen King, who delight to give him praise. And whether we sing aloud, or singing quietly, or not sing at all, let's bring God praise.
One voice. shore to shore, we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice, rejoice.
Do you please take your seats? Is it strange to be singing or mouthing, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, when we're kind of muffled and covered, when we're standing in this church that can seat 400 with, 40 or so of us? Okay, many more joining at home, but we are separated. And one of the things I think it's this whole time has really brought home to me is what a privilege it is that God's people can meet. I've often been in prayer meetings or in church services where people said, Lord, we thank you that we can meet freely in this country. Well, has it been strange for 5 months now to not be able to meet freely? Certainly not the kind of just come along, just get in a room and sing praises. It's not even easy just to go around somebody's house and sit and pray with them, or even to comfort somebody when things are difficult. There are these barriers. But I'm aware that actually it is a privilege to be able to come, even as we are now. It's a privilege to have the technology that we have to be able to join in from home. There are places in the world where people have never been able to sing aloud because they meet in fear of arrest or attack for what they believe. And there are many people, even in this country, who haven't been able to join with God's people because they've been unwell previously. Hopefully it'll make us perhaps a little bit more aware of the privilege that we have and the freedom actually that we still enjoy to be able to meet. There's a lovely line in that song that is, and those who come with kind of joy, or those who come with battles won, or those struggling in the fight. I don't know what kind of week you've had. You might have just got back from holidays. Those lucky people who go to school in Warwickshire, not in Leicestershire, who've been enjoying just that extra little bit of holiday while the rest of us have started back. Maybe you've had a really tough time and you've heard that somebody that you love is unwell. Maybe you're just going through a really tough time. We're aware already of the economic impact of what's happening. But even as we meet, we come with all of that. All of the good things that have happened and all the bad things. And we come as a body. We're not just individuals sort of doing business with God, but we come as a fellowship and a family to laugh together and to cry together. And that's been especially hard recently. We also come with an awareness of actually, you know, having done good things, having had opportunities to serve others in the face of a pandemic and additional need. Perhaps also you've been challenged, as I had, that lockdown has enabled a lot of selfishness as we've been justified in doing what we want and not necessarily getting involved with others. One of the great things about coming together as church is we come being real. Being real about the mistakes we've made, or even the wonderful successes that we've seen. Being real about how difficult things are, but also able to freely celebrate the joys. And that's why one of the things we do every time we gather is we come before God to acknowledge our need of him, and particularly our need for his forgiveness. Would you join me with the words that appear on the screen, words of confession, that come before God and acknowledge that we're not as good as we want to be, certainly not as good as we should be, and that we need his forgiveness. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And the great news is that as we come before God, being honest about our own weakness and failure, he meets us with welcome and forgiveness. He is the waiting father, longing for the prodigal to return. He's not begrudging in his forgiveness, but he gives it freely through the Son whom he gave to die for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that in you there is freedom from guilt and freedom from sin. By the power of your Spirit, may we know your forgiveness. And we thank you that no matter how we feel, that as we confess our sins before you, you meet us with forgiveness and cleansing. Amen. We're going to sing again a wonderful song of praise over all the earth. Let me invite you once again, if you're able, to stand and join in the appropriate way.
Sunset sky, but I'm one request, Lord, my only aim is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? The beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again?
Everybody, we are the Sons of Korah. Yeah, come on. And we are holy men of God. And we want everyone in the world, don't we?
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone. Who?
Everyone.
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 Everyone. All the people who live in the world, to listen to us, because we are going to talk from a proverb, the Word of God. And everybody knows that all Scripture is God-breathed. So if you're listening from the Word of God, you know it's incredible wisdom.
Yeah.
Really good. Yes! Really awesome. Oh, yes. Okay. So, why would we fear anything? Why would we fear anything? We don't fear anything. When evil days come upon us, when people who are really, really scary, and I have to say, when we were around, it was in the Iron Age, 3,000 years ago. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the most scary thing that was anywhere in those days was people. People of power. People who were rich. People who had loads of money. Oh. Because rich people could enslave you. They could be the person who gets you killed. Really scary. But we're not scared.
No.
No, we're not scared. We're not scared of evil. No. No. You see, in those days, rich people would have slaves to make their food, to make their fires nice and warm so they were warm at night, and they had lovely beds, and so they lived a long time. They got all this power. But was it any good to them? Oh, no, it was no good to them. It was no good to them. Because it doesn't matter how rich you are. No matter how rich you are, it doesn't buy salvation. Does it buy salvation? No. Money, money, money does not buy salvation. Oh, just doesn't do it. No. Because do you know what? Lots of money doesn't stop you from dying. Being dead. Dead. Does it? Doesn't stop you. No. And you end up in the grave. So, even the rich people cannot escape the grave and these massive tombs.
Their tomb will remain their houses forever.
It will. Now, here's William, and he was 80. He lived a long time, but now he's in the tomb because he couldn't buy everlasting life. And all these graves have got people rotting in the ground. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes.
They are like sheep and they cannot escape death. Death! Yes!
What is that sword?
Mint sauce. Are you enjoying this song, this hymn? It's so beautiful. Oh, it is so beautiful. Yes, this lovely song, which is so uplifting when it's all about death. So all mankind is doomed. Remember, this is a song, a pleasant song sung in church. All will go to the grave and their corpses will rot away. We are doomed.
We're doomed.
But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself and give me salvation. Yes. But God, do you know the Bible has got so much gloom and doom in it? But every now and again, we get a but God, because God breaks into this fallen, broken planet and into our doom. But God turns it all around. He does. Yes. We are the sons of Korah.
We know
that God changes the destiny and the eternity of human beings. Wow. But God. But anyway, back to money. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's only rich people. Yeah. Germany rich people. Oh, they can never buy their salvation. It has to be by a God who loves us. And that comes through Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. God is our salvation.
That's
he
true.
Is yeah. our salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, do you know what? The rich, their splendor might increase. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, wait for the end of the song. It is really lovely ending. Yeah, the rich, they may increase. But people who have wealth, that lack understanding if they don't know about Jesus, are all like beasts that perish. Me, 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 that's the end of the song. Great song.
Thank you, Graham and Sophie. Now, maybe I made a mistake. I said, I'd really like the all-age talk to be more creative this week. And they certainly did that. So good job, Sophie. And thank you, Graham. What an astonishing song we're looking at today. A song that, well, it doesn't seem like the normal kind of song that we sing. It certainly isn't like this next song. This is a fun song, uplifting. It doesn't say that, you know, the doom of rich men is the grave. But it does remind us that all that we do, and particularly all that we do as we give ourselves over to God, is in his power, is in his influence. And this particularly, these action songs are particularly for those of us who are in the building, because we can join in. You can do the action actions for this. And for those of you at home, it's particularly good because you can join in, but nobody can see. So if you get it wrong, it doesn't matter. This song is Every Move I Make. So if you're able, let me invite you to stand. And we'll join in with the actions to Every Move I make in you, Jesus.
The reading is taken from Psalm 49. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp, I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches? No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. So that they should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and people praise you when you prosper. They will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you today. It's great to be the first preacher who gets to test out how it works in the building. Excellent. Let's see how well this goes. I'm going to pray for us before we start. And while I cool off from jumping around for an action song, let me pray for us. Father God, speak to us today. Speak to us through your word. Show us your grace. Show us your mercy. Show us your justice. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, my question for you is, what happens when you owe something? Imagine you're a small child. For some of you, that will be easier than others. What happens when you want something? If you want something like this packet of sweets, you can tell that we don't eat many sweets in our household because this bag of sweets was bought in July and still is half full. Imagine you're a child who really, really wants this bag of sweets. Well, how do you get it? Maybe your parents are being nice. You've been good, and they say, well, we'll buy you that bag of sweets today. But it would be a really mean parent who wrote down the price of that bag of sweets and who wrote down every bag of sweets they'd ever bought you, everything they'd ever bought you. And when you got to 18 and you, I don't know, you decided to get a job in the local warehouse picking and packing, they said, oh, your money needs to come to us. Well, because do you remember back in 1997 when we bought you that packet of sweets? Well, you owe us £1 and all the rest. It would be a mean parent who insisted that you paid them back. What about if I need a house? If I go and buy a house and get some keys like this, well, I don't have the money to buy it outright. I'd have to go to a mortgage, to a bank to ask for a mortgage and try and get them to give me some money. Because I can pay something towards it, and I'll earn money to be able to pay it back, but I'm going to owe them for a long time. the money that they have given me. Plus, I'm going to pay them a substantial bit of interest for the privilege. For most of us, the money we owe on a house or a car, or maybe if we're young, on those bags of sweets, well, that's going to be the most money we owe at the moment. And yet, in our psalm today, it tells us that we owe God far more than that. We owe God our lives. And the message that our psalmist has for us today is that we can never pay back what we owe. No matter how much money we have in our piggy bank at home, no matter how much we have in this life, we will never pay back God. But God can fix it. And we're going to see in our psalm how he does that. We're going to dive into a psalm. If you've got a Bible app, maybe you can't, in the building, we can't have paper Bibles with us to give you. But maybe if you've got a Bible app on your phone, it might be helpful to get that up. If you're sitting at home, grab a Bible or a Bible app. And we're going to look through Psalm 49 together. And we're going to start from verse 1 to 4. Because, well, the first thing we notice in verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 49 is this. That this message is urgent and is universal. So urgent means that, well, it's a message that needs to be acted upon right now. It's something that can't be ignored. It's something that needs to be dealt with right away. It's normally me having to go to the post office to pay for special delivery because first class isn't quick enough, because I've forgotten to send something when I should have done. It's not stopping for that really nice service station coffee that I love at Cambridge Services because I really need to get back to Suffolk and I left it too late. It's because it's not procrastinating when I'm sitting at my computer and really should be doing this urgent work, but the really nice bit of work I want to do is so much nicer. And universal means, well, it's important for everyone. It's not something that just matters to me, or me and my family, or me and Lutterworth, or me and the UK. It's something that matters to every person who has ever lived and will ever live. Every person, regardless of their gender, their race, their lifestyle, their wealth, their popularity. It's a message that everyone needs to respond to. And for these are, verse 3, words of wisdom. These are words for, verse 2, the low and the high, the rich and the poor alike. Verse 1, all people must hear this message and listen. Because the words are universal for everyone. And they are urgent. They've got to be acted upon now. You see, they're expounded with a harp, a typical instrument of joy. And yet, because this psalm feels somber, we might think that it has a negative message. And you'd expect that, telling people that they're going to their graves, that they can't save themselves, they can't save anyone else. But this psalm has a really joyful and hopeful conclusion. And verse 5 and 6 tell us this urgent and universal question that we need to listen to. It says, well, why should I fear when evil days come? When wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches, when they come at me, what should I trust in? How can I not fear them? And while the psalmist is speaking to us and also to himself, it's a question all of us need to answer. It's asking about fear. It's asking us, what is important in life? What should we fear when everything around us seems hostile and against us? When everyone else seems to have the wealth, when everyone else seems to get the success, has an easy ride through life, when building in this life seems to be all that's worthwhile. Now, if any of you know me, you'll know that I am an adoring fan of Lego. So we're going to use Lego as our illustration this morning because it fits with the story, but also because I love Lego. And Charlie's reminded me I must keep to the point and not get distracted with the Lego. So what can we hope in when everyone seems to be building, when everyone seems to be adding more and more to the wealth and success that they have? We feel, I'm sure, because I do, as individuals today, trusting in God sometimes feels like the hard option, not the easy route to take. When our faith in the world seems like it marks us out as a target for jokes, for hostility, for just not taking seriously what we believe and who we trust in. We feel this as a church when society feels like it's against us, when we're struggling to make our voice heard in the community, when we're seen as those unhelpful religious people. And the easy option is, well, to keep building. The psalmist, an Israelite, would have known what this felt like. He was surrounded by, well, those who were against him. He was surrounded by those who wanted to conquer his nation. Nations who wanted to keep building, to build their wealth, their status, their power. Nations who followed other gods. Nations who denied who the God of the Bible, the God of the Israelites, is. And see, the mark we look for when we're looking at these people is that, well, they trusted in their wealth. Verse 6, they trust in their wealth for their hope. They boast in the riches they have. They boast in their success. They are arrogant and oppressive to others because, well, their hope, they continue to build. There was no need for them to be moral or not to take advantage of those people around them. Well, because they didn't trust in the God who told them otherwise. They didn't trust in a God who was going to judge them for doing that. They didn't trust in a God who wanted them to live lives of mercy, of compassion. And so the question we have is this. Well, when these people are building and building and building, why don't I fear? What hope do I have if I shouldn't be trusting in my wealth, in my success, building like them, like those who don't know God? Well, and the psalmist in the rest of Psalm 49 gives us two kind of subtly different answers to that question. The first, if we look down at verses 7 to 12, it shows us that human life is so valuable and yet so deeply in debt because of sin that no humanly procured ransom is going to be enough to save us from death, from the wages of our sin. So you think back to our big jar of coins. No matter how much wealth we earn, no matter how much money we give to charity, no matter how much time we volunteer, no matter how good our house is, we can't save ourselves. Because without our God, we perish like animals. It doesn't matter if your house looks like this. I was quick there. On our own, we will perish like animals. Because each of us answers that question in verse 6 about fear, we have to answer it in a similar way to we see at the refrains at the end of each answer, verse 12, verse 20, that no matter your wealth, no matter what you have, you are going to perish if that is what you trust in. If you trust in your house, in your money, because it cannot save you, no matter how much you have. Well, that's what we hear in this psalm is going to happen to those self-confident people. And so to answer the question, what should we fear? We don't need to fear those who are rich, those who are self-confident, are arrogant in their own wisdom, because we know that one day, no matter how grand their house, no matter how brilliant a Lego house they've built, and I've built a lot of good Lego houses, no matter how grand their tomb, no matter how great their legacy, how many people will remember their name, they are still going to die and go to the grave. And so the psalmist gives us a second answer. That's why we don't trust. So why do we have hope? Why do we not have to fear? And that's what he tells us in verse 13 to 20. He says, while all of us by nature die like animals, some of us have hope. And that hope can only be in God's grace. Verse 13 to 14 says, proud humanity are helpless. They are unable to save ourselves. And there's this kind of deep irony, knowing that as we continue with the animal imagery, as we saw with the lovely fluffy sheep earlier in our all-age talk, that they are like sheep with death as their shepherd. And what a contrast that is to our God, the God of Psalm 23, who is the good shepherd, the God who refreshes our souls. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. There is no need to fear because, well, God is the good shepherd. The shepherd who doesn't let his sheep down. And back in Psalm 49, our psalm today, verse 14 tells us, well, there is a morning coming. There is something better coming. A time when those who are upright, those who trust in God, those who in this world feel like they have been oppressed and they don't have the house, they don't have the money, they don't have everything that this world trusts in, well, they're going to prevail. Because on that day, verse 15, God says, he will redeem us from the realm of the dead. He will surely take us to himself. The psalmist knows that he can't redeem himself from the wages of death. The cost is just too great. It is far too great. He trusts, instead of in bricks and mortar, instead of in money, he trusts in the God who will covenantly, in covenant love, will redeem him from the dead. And so, verse 16, he says to all God's people, including every one of us, sitting here, sitting at home on your sofa, sitting wherever you are, he says to you, if you trust in him, do not be overawed, do not fear. Because while all of those who are tied to earthly wealth have no hope, but all of those who trust in the saving God have more than earthly success to come. Because while we trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus, the priceless sacrifice, the God who doesn't just have this amount of money like we have on this earth. He is the God who is the priceless sacrifice, the one who is worth more than anything we could ever have. And what does he do with his wealth? Well, he pours it out. He pours it out as a sacrifice for us, because all that he is worth, he gives to us. He redeems us, he justifies us. And he does that not because we had a little bit of what we are worth. No, he doesn't care about this in terms of caring that we are loved and trusting in him. We are justified by him, not on our works, not on our house, not on our money. We are justified because of who God is. And while I think, if you're sitting at home today, if you're sitting in the building today and you don't know whether you are trusting in God as your Savior, then all I want to say to you is know this. The only thing to fear in this world, it is not having the best house. It is not having enough money. It is fearing not knowing God. Because no matter what happens in this life, if you have Jesus as your Savior, you are safe. Your sin is paid for. The work of Jesus at the cross, his resurrection, the character of God we trust in, it pays for all we have done wrong. So consider whether you have put your trust in him. Consider if you know him and if you trust that he is able to do that. Read the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' life, and see the sacrifice God made to keep you safe, to make sure that you do not have to fear. Because money and status cannot save you. They only offer relief for a while. And well, for those of us who trust in God, I think, having to pull my sermon out from under the coins, I think we should dwell on what this lack of fear means for our lives. In the moments that you're out in your life and you feel like stuff is overwhelming, when you feel that society is just opposing your faith, when you feel that your friends don't understand your trust in Jesus, well, we can trust in the God that takes away fear. The God who reassures us that no matter what happens to us in this world, we have an eternal hope. Because we are right with the one who matters, the creator, the judge of this world. And I think it's more than that. If you know that your eternal future is safe, well, then that helps you to step out, to take risks, to pursue holiness. Our trust in God helps us to make sacrifices, to focus on God. Because if God has poured out everything for you, if he has made the priceless sacrifice in saving every one of you, then we can live a life of thankfulness for that grace, a life of holiness that God calls us to, because as we've seen, we can never repay the debt that we have, but we can serve the God who gave himself for us. We can speak to those who don't know Jesus, even if it risks embarrassment, because, well, we have a secure future and no one can remove it. We can give to those less fortunate. We can give to the church to spread the gospel because, well, wealth doesn't contribute to our secure future in God. We can work rightly, even if that means standing up to a boss who wants us to do something wrong, because, well, even if that risks losing that promotion, we are trusting in the God who gives us secure hope. And what does that promotion mean in comparison to a life lived with God? Knowing that we don't have to fear the world means that we can take risks, we can pursue holiness, safe in the knowledge of our salvation. Our psalm today shows us that we have nothing to fear, not because of our house or money, but because we trust in the God who conquers death, and we trust in the God who forgives us for simply trusting in the name of Jesus and submitting to him. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you that you paid the price for our guilt. Thank you that you are our Saviour. Give us faith, Lord, to trust in you wholeheartedly, to trust in the righteousness of your grace, not the righteousness of our flawed works, to have no fear when we face a world that is against us. Help us to step out in faith, in knowledge of our secure, eternal hope. Protect us this week as we walk in your footsteps in your world, as we shine the light of your grace into the lives of others, and as we rely on the hope at the cross and resurrection above anything else. We ask all that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much, Ben. What a great reminder of, well, the weakness, the short-lastedness of all the other things we might hope in, and the surety of all that we can hope for in God. And that's why each week we say the Creed, not just because it's in the liturgy and in the plan, but each week we declare what we believe as a reminder that we are basing our hope for the future, our certainty, on what God has done for us. All that he is and all that he's done and all that he's promised. So if you're able, I'd like to invite you to stand, please. And we're going to declare our faith in the words of the Creed that will appear on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our next song reminds us of why God did what he did and what he did for us when Jesus died on the cross, as in God so loved.
Sin and shame, with a cry he said, it is finished, Christ the Lord. which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for his fame and renown. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world. The Messiah, for he made us a way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for his fame and renown. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world. Christ the Lord overcame the dark. Defeated, and he reigns, ruler of the heavens, and his name is Jesus the Messiah, for he made us a way by which we have been saved. He's the Savior of the world. So we lift up a shout for his fame and renown. Praise the Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world.
Each Sunday we pray a pattern of prayer, bringing our world and its needs to God. It means that we join the organised prayers of the church around the world. So just think, as the earth turns, somewhere, someone is praying. Isn't that a lovely thought for our world, our church, and our concerns? Pray with me a little differently today, and we bring some of those concerns to God in the lovely Yorkshire Dales. It's near the market town of Hawes, and I'm starting on the Poor Nine Way. And I'm praying that the poverty of my filming skills will be overlooked in the wonderful nature of this landscape. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of creation and the natural world around us. When lockdown started, we noticed the natural world begin to recover and regenerate as our human impact lessened. As we begin to return to our normality, help us to keep in mind the need to protect that environmental regeneration and to lessen our heavy footprints upon it. We pray for the needs of the folk who work the land, the producers of food and the keepers of livestock. Every downward economic turn has an effect, and we pray for their mental and physical resilience and their protection. Bless the work of the Arthur Rank Centre as it aids and ministers to rural communities. Look after the interests of our farmers and farm workers in and around Lutterworth, Bitterswell and Coatsbatch as they too strive to keep going. And we pray too, Lord, for you to be in the towns and the cities where COVID-19 is still having a hold and an impact. We pray for clear guidance and for patience, as well as protection from further harm. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you.
in the towns, cities, villages and communities everywhere, we recognise that jobs are threatened, livelihoods being lost. Be in the thinking and doing of our government as the recovery process begins and is worked through. We think especially of places where the holiday industry is the mainstay of employment, income and sustainability. Father, let good conscience and wise counsel prevail where people are unable to make rent payments or meet their mortgage responsibilities. Give wisdom to all in authority to act with integrity and with love. As schools, colleges and universities prepare for a new academic year, we pray you into the planning processes and ask that you cover staff and learners from nursery upwards with your protective love. Turn the disadvantage of social distancing into opportunities for new and exciting methods of teaching and learning. In a scientific world where research and learning endeavours to vanquish the virus, we ask for your special gifting of discovery and new knowledge for scientists and the medical professionals. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the Pennine Way comes through this village, I'm here at the church. Church is a new shape, Lord. We pray for guidance in overcoming restrictions and barriers to worship. We pray for our reforming, a different and exciting way of being church, shaped by God, guided by the Holy Spirit, as we are renewed, refreshed, and maybe even reinvented around the unchangeable truth that is Jesus Christ. From here is the pathway that leads upwards and towards the fells. It passes through the small village of Gale. It's uphill, but not difficult. But many of us take a different pathway, have a different walk. A walk of sickness in mind, body and spirit. Lord, draw close to all who need the comfort of your healing touch at this time. Those who in our hearts we name and lift before you. In the rugged beauty of this place, we offer you all who have lost a loved one. And the pain of that loss is sharp and raw. Lord, draw close to them. Show them the hope and the joy in the resurrection. Let them find the warmth and light of your love. Lord, in your mercy, we offer you this prayer. Join with me in the words of the prayer that our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. I hope you enjoyed your holiday. Looks lovely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This isn't quite the end yet, but just a few things to update you on in the life of the church. I'm aware that things are beginning to get back to normal. People are going back to school, some of us, and college, university and training. Others have had sort of different working patterns. Some people are looking for jobs, some people are looking forward to retirement. I was chatting to someone the other day saying, what a funny last year of work this will be. One of the things we're really aware of is we're just so aware of the difficulties of being church at the moment. You see, church isn't something to attend or a building that you visit. It is a people group, a community, a body that we're part of. And it's been really difficult, I'm aware, over the last 5 months. And just today, I saw some people in church that I haven't seen for 5 months, or perhaps waved across the street, sort of through masks and visors and everything. It's really tough. And we really want to do everything we can to help everybody to be church. And I think there has been a lot of that, people helping their neighbours, getting stuck in. But one of the things we're really aware of is that one of the markers, one of the central acts of the church is communion, the Lord's Supper, the sharing of bread and wine as a sacrament, a sign of God's grace given to his church. And we've been on an enforced fast for 5 months, unable to share that meal. In fact, it became legally possible in some way in the last month, but we just thought we'd wait till we were all here. And so next Sunday, the 6th of September, we'd really like to get as many people as we can to participate in our first service of communion since lockdown began. There are still some spaces, so we put many precautions in here in the church building so that we can get the maximum number in whilst remaining safe. So we've got large households and small households, and we've got every other row. We've got masks, hand sanitizer, all those sorts of things. In fact, Tom's recording a little video this morning just to help give everybody confidence about the procedures that we've put in place. But we reckon we could probably fit as many as 80 people here in the building. It'd be wonderful if we could max out that next week. And also we're aware that some people aren't going to be able to come. And so if you're not able to come, please do get in touch with the church office. Me or Tom will then bring communion to your home. So you can join with the service in the morning, and then after the service, we will then go and sort of do delivery service to people. So that we're doing one communion service, one sharing of bread and wine, but we're spreading it over Lutterworth, Coates Batch and Bidderswell to include as many people as we can. Because one of the many things that communion does is it expresses our unity together as we gather around a common table, sharing bread and wine together. And okay, there are restrictions and rules about how we're going to do that. But it's really important that actually we obey Jesus' command to do what he showed us to do. And so we've been waiting a little while to do this. So we're really looking forward. So please get in touch with the church office or look on the website and book a ticket, if you can, for next week's service. Remember, if you do come, you want to bring a Bible or a phone with a Bible app on it. Because we're not allowed to give out bits of paper unless you take them away. And that's too many Bibles if everyone gets a new Bible every week. So please bring your own. But we'd love to get as many as we can here. And if you can't make it, then please get in touch and we will still enable you to participate as fully as possible. As I've said before, we're going to keep both in-person and live streaming certainly till the end of November. We don't know what the future's going to look like. But we want, again, to enable everybody to continue to participate in church. This week on Wednesday morning, for the first time, our midweek service is similarly going to be both in person and online. So we're hoping there'll be some people, perhaps those of us who've been a bit more nervous about coming to a larger gathering. Well, that'll be a deliberately smaller gathering on Wednesday at 10:30. Other things, though, are good news. We held our first wedding here on Friday. It was a wonderful celebration. In the end, they even did the reception here in the building as well because the weather was so foul and they couldn't do it in the garden. And they just decked it out beautifully. We'll show you the photos. But wonderful just to begin to get back into normal. And then the very next day, we had a renewal of wedding vows for Paul and Tricia Dean, who are celebrating 50 years. So I think that deserves a round of applause. And in case you want to give them a louder round of applause, they've also brought cake. So, in a very socially distant... Yeah, there we go. In a very responsible, socially distanced way, on your way out, you will get takeaway cake. So after the service, we're encouraging everybody... We have our masks on, we'll head straight out, and then we can take masks off, have a chat, have a piece of cake, and share together. So if you're here in the building, well done. Today you earned cake. My word. What it'll be next week, eh? Look ahead, we've got our Christianity Explored course. The second part of our current course is starting again this Thursday. We're planning ahead for the next course. All things are really beginning to get back into the zone. If you've got children or young people, we are again looking at the ways of appropriately restarting more and more in-person activities. So please do just get in touch with us if you haven't caught that. But every Friday, an email goes out from the church telling you more about what's going on here in the life of the church. We're going to sing another song now, our final song for today. And this really picks up some of those themes from the psalm of what will eventually happen, the perspective that we can have. We might look around and see people with big houses and pots of money, and it might be very appealing. And yet, even as you head out of church, as you walk through the churchyards, well, what's their home? Their home is the tomb, eventually, apart from the Lord that redeems us. And so this last song brings up all those images of the higher throne that God sits on, that one day we will kneel before. The perspective that we need to remember, particularly when things are difficult, that there is a future assured, won for us by the death of Jesus. So if you're able, please do stand as we sing, "There is a Higher Throne." Lord our God, we give you great thanks for your faithfulness to us, that your love is assured, that our destiny is certain, that all that you have done for us and all that you will do for us is guaranteed. grow our faith in you, build our courage to live for you, that we might serve you each day before the time we come before that throne. Amen. Well, thank you for so much for being part of our service. It's been great whether you're online or with us in the building. Let's close by saying the grace together. The words will be on the screen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.